Tune in Tuesdays and Fridays at 15 UTC for
Hear Now the Words.
If you feel you have reached this recording in error, please check the number or try your call again.
Elevator arrive.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Ahoy, ahoy! Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is 1906 UTC on July 31st, 2023. Right, it's the last day of July. We're going to be ending summer after August. So we're getting there. We're on our way. We're marching towards the shaded spot as well as towards the heat, or hopefully away from the heat eventually. Right now, I'm currently being blessed by the cloud gods because we continue to be partly to mostly cloudy, which is great. Which is enough humidity to give us clouds. And there's a big cloud over the sun, so I'm able to walk to the shaded area, and I don't feel like I'm being burnt alive, which is great. The wind, of course, rustling the beard and the microphone. I really was hoping that those AirPods would be compatible with this app, but oh well. Maybe I'll get my, I don't know what the solution is to that problem, but that's not what we're here for. We're not here to solve technical problems. We're here to talk about the news. This is news to me. We do news Monday through Friday from 1900 to 1930 UTC. Of course, I'm doing it live from the roof of the parking garage at work, which is the typical place. I've been doing it for the last year or so now. So we are here, we're on the roof. If you want to hang out and talk during the show, you can of course jump into XMPP chat using whatever client you'd like. Then from there you can just connect to the non-radio room, which is, non-radio. Yes, we want notifications when mentioned. Oh, no, push notifications, not accepted. All right, anyway, it's a non-radio, which is going to be, why doesn't it tell me the room name? Anyway, it's, the conference server is conference.jabber, so it's a non-radio at conference.jabber.sdf.org. It's a bit of a mouthful, but that is the answer there. We got a F-150 pulling a big old trailer, cruising through, making some noise. So anyway, hello, I'm in XMPP chat. I don't know, it says I'm online, but I've said hi the last several days and nobody ever replies back, so I think my client may be messed up, at least on my phone, because yeah, on my phone also, I know that there's stuff going on in the SDF room, but it doesn't update, so I don't know what the deal is. This is the part of the confusion and frustration with XMPP. I don't know why the group chats don't work, but if you're in a group chat for very long, it will fail, and you have to leave and come back, and then maybe it'll let you in. So let's join a group chat, and let's go to a non-radio, see if it lets me in. Next, join. All right, there we go. Now I see Jay LaMoth and all the updates. I think what happens is that whatever a non-radio uses to spam the rooms with the like so many listeners listening and so many that notice and the metadata,
I think that craps out the clients because it's just spam. There's hundreds of messages that it just posts, every couple of minutes. Alrighty. But you could also chat in comm, which is where the most civilized of SDF members live. And all to do that is you SSH over to sdf.org, and then once you're there, you type comm, C-O-M, you press enter, and you type G for go to, and then a non-radio, all lowercase, all one word, or if you're cool, you can create a comm.rc file with all that kind of stuff in there, and then boom, you'll be in the non-radio room, hanging out with the cool guys, like Quentin. Quentin, who heard some bad things about XMPP, X1, LCD, Ratsu, the whole crew in comm. Welcome. Let's see, I wonder if it's possible to disable the Anon Radio bot in Jabber. Yeah, I agree, LCD. That would be cool. Maybe that's a post to make in B-Board. I'll make a post in B-Board and see. But anyway, welcome one and all. It is 1911 now, which means that I've been talking for 5 minutes or so, and it's time to get into some news. Let's make sure our bookmarks are synced up, because if they're not synced up, we'll need to start that process before we continue. Nope, they haven't synced in since Friday, so we gotta go over here to settings and click on sync now. Hey, what do you know? I've never seen a quiet dirt bike, but there we go. And another F-150 truck cruising through with another trailer. Very interesting. Both of these trucks passed by with a trailer that had a big tailgate, like a ramp on the back, but they were hauling materials, so it didn't look like they were hauling like a wheeled vehicle, so it was kind of a surprise. Anywho, now we got our bookmarks. Now it's time to get into it. First up, our news from around the world where death and destruction is going on. We start in Pakistan. ISIL, or ISIL, the Islamic State group, is claiming responsibility for a Pakistan bombing that killed 54 people. Funerals were held for victims on Sunday's suicide attack, which also wounded nearly 200 people. The death toll that targeted an election rally in the border district of Bajur, Pakistan, has risen to 54 as funerals are held and the government promises to hunt down those behind the attack. Nearly 200 people were wounded in Sunday's bombing, which ISIL, or ISIS, an armed group, claimed responsibility on Monday. Suicide attacker from the Islamic State detonated his explosive jacket in the middle of a crowd in the town of Khar, the armed group's news arm, AMAQ, said in a statement. That's A-M-A-Q, or Alpha Mike Alpha Quebec. About 400 members of the Jamiat Ulama-e-Islam, or JUIF party, J-U-I-F, party, a key government coalition partner headed by hardline politician Fazlur Rahman, were waiting for speeches to begin with a bomber detonated a vest packed with explosives near the stage. As condolences poured in from across the country, dozens of people who received minor injuries were discharged from the hospital, while the critically wounded were taken to provincial capital Peshawar by army helicopters. The death toll continued to rise as critically wounded people died in the hospital. So that's where we get our 54 dead from. Kill. Oh, Quentin. That's very funny. I did not mean to badmouth XMPP. Person-to-person chat, it is really great. And in group chats, it's pretty good, but it's one of those things where it's like, how you do it? XMPP is like a person-to-person thing. So when you go to a group chat, you're sending your message to all the members in the room. And everyone in the room is sending all their message to everyone else. And since it's, at least whenever I messed with the protocol, that's what was going on. And so those group chats get a little bit noisy, especially if there's a lot of people in them. But, yeah. So anyway, that's what's going on there in Pakistan. There's more happening, though. Don't worry. In Africa, 5 people are dead. You'll never guess why. Well, maybe you will. It's illegal. Not illegal immigration. No, it's illegal mining. One of the other big killers in the country, in the continent. 5 have been killed in suspected illegal mining gang violence in South Africa. 5 people are believed to be, 5 bodies believed to be those of illegal miners were found near an abandoned mine shaft near a suburban slum to the west of Johannesburg. The preliminary investigation suggests that two rival groups of illegal miners shot each other, said the police in a statement, which opened an investigation and called on the population to provide information. With an unemployment rate over 32%, South Africa has thousands of illegal miners, nicknamed Zamazamas, or those who try, in the Zulu language. The Johannesburg area is dotted with man-made hills, shafts, and deep trenches left by generations of miners whose arrival during the gold rush in the 1880s led to the birth of the city. Access to these old mines is controlled by gangs. In September 2022, local media reported at least seven illegal miners were shot and killed near the same slum. So that is something. If anything, that's a piece of information for you. Let's see. Jay LaMoth does like its federated nature when talking about XMPP. For a while it talked all the protocols. Oh, Pigeon, yeah. I used to like Pigeon a lot because that was one of the best things. And you could it was cross-platform. That was so cool. You could use it everywhere. RIP Pigeon, Lib Purple. Keep on going strong. Let's talk about some silly ways people have died this past weekend. Well, not silly, but just like unusual. These are kind of odd stories. They're still death, but they're less sad death. More, oh, did you hear how this guy died? Death. Which I'm not making light of their death. It's just, I'm trying to explain, categorize the death stories. A Georgia resident has died from a rare brain infection, commonly known as the brain-eating amoeba. The victim was infected with a Naegleria fowleri, an amoeba that destroys brain tissue, causes brain swelling, and usually death, the Georgia Department of Health confirmed in a news release. This is the sixth case of the infection in Georgia since 1962, but there have been a handful of similar cases reported in the U.S. so far this year, according to NBC News. And because the amoeba grows in warm, fresh water, it's well-suited to proliferate as temperatures in the U.S. rise amid the ongoing climate crisis. Officials said the victim in Georgia was probably infected while swimming in a freshwater lake or pond, but didn't say where. People can become infected when water containing the amoeba goes up a person's nose. It cannot infect people if swallowed and is not spread from person to person. The amoeba is naturally occurring, and there's no routine environmental test for this bacteria in bodies of water, and because it's very common in the environment. Levels of the amoebas that naturally occur cannot be controlled, health officials said. The location and number of amoebas in water can vary over time within the same body of water. So, there you go. If you're swimming in fresh, warm water, wear some nose plugs or consider the risks before you go. In February, in Florida, a man also died from an amoeba, which he may have contracted, after he rinsed his sinuses with tap water, health officials said. So, yeah, careful with those neti pots. Can also, it's one of those things where it's like, it's not going to hurt you unless you put it in your nose. But don't worry, you can die in Georgia without getting in the water without getting bugs in your nose. Pretty wild, right? I know. Everything is broken. Yeah. Amoeba infection's bad. What was I going to say? I've been watching the anime Parasite again, and that is a fun show, but it reminded me, it's like this amoeba goes up your nose and eats your brain. It's like, oh man, if only eating the amoeba gave you superpowers and a weird little guy living in your brain and didn't turn you into a zombie killing machine. I don't know. We'll have to figure that out later. A 24-year-old man died after being electrocuted when he jumped off a dock into Georgia's Lake Lanier on Thursday. The Georgia Department of Natural Resources told news outlets that a neighbor was able to pull the man from the water, and he was taken to North Forsyth Hospital, where he later died. The TV station locally reported that the Forsyth County Sheriff's Office identified the man as Thomas Milner. The Sheriff's Office told WAGA-TV that neighbors took a boat over to try to help Milner, and one person jumped in the water. That person said that he felt a burning sensation that he recognized as electrical shock. He swam ashore, turned off a power box near the dock, and then re-entered the water to help Milner. Electric shock drowning can occur when electrical current leaks into surrounding waters, causing a swimmer to become incapacitated. Milner's mother told the local news outlet that her son, who went by this middle name Shepherd, was a gentle, kind, and loved the lake. Let's see. The dock at their lake property was less than 3 years old, and that the power box had been set up by a licensed electrician. So, they're saying it's a freak accident. Maybe poor maintenance of the electric box. Either way. Jay LaMoth is apologizing for TMI, but I'm not sure what his TMI is. I'm going to have to play with my brightness settings. Jay LaMoth uses a neti pot, but is always very careful about sterilizing the water first. Good idea. Plus, plus on that. Quentin pointing out, proper neti pot usage requires boiling the water, letting it cool, then using it. And Jay LaMoth points out, you must let it cool before you pour it through your nose. You know what? That's probably a good idea. I definitely don't recommend pouring boiling water into your face at any point in time. Unless, you know, if that's your thing, if you're looking to get some cool burns on your face or something. But, yowza. It's 1921 UTC right now, which reminds me to tell you that the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, a fun show that airs every goddamn day right here on and on radio at 19... What is happening? Sorry. Okay, I see what's going on. Dubious Goals Committee's every goddamn day at 1930 UTC right here on and on radio. And this is news to me. And at 20 hours, we've got Harry Larry and Mix Remix that comes up at 20 hours. You can always press the equal sign when you're in comm or type an on radio in the shell or on the shell at SDF on the cluster, and you'll get the upcoming, currently who's playing and the upcoming schedule, usually for the next 24 hours or so. I was kind of oohing and aahing. I'm going to try and take a picture. Hopefully it doesn't knock me offline. Pano will work too. One sec, I'll tell you what I see. So, what I saw that was making me ooh and ah, I guess I should say, is that there are light poles on the roof of the garage, because at night, people who are parked up here, you know, when you want to be able to see your car when you're getting to it. Well, anyway, these light poles, I noticed that they were partially shaded. It looked almost like they were painted, but only halfway up. And then as I looked along the garage, they were painted more and more darker color. And I was like, oh, and it made me laugh because it's not that they're painted. It's that there's a cloud obscuring just part of it, part of the pole. So it's a shadow. My mistake. Silly me. Let's see if I can see what's going on. Jeff loves to read neti pot usage on comm. Ratsu was scared for life by a big kettle of boiling water falling onto toddler. You know, that's fair. A lot of kids get hurt by boiling water when they're little. All right, let's keep on moving. We did our ads for non-radio and everything. It's 1923 now. So let's finish up with our death. We have two more deaths to talk about. First, a mother is accusing police of standing by and doing nothing for 13 minutes as her son drowned in the Tennessee River. In the United States, the Supreme Court's held in the past and affirmed a few times that the police don't have a duty to protect or save anybody who's... they don't have a duty to protect or save anyone. So, like, if they don't want to, they don't have to save you from, they don't have to save you from something. They don't have to stop the bank robbery, you know, that kind of stuff. They're doing everything voluntarily of their own free will. Anyway, here's the news story. The mother of a Tennessee man who drowned after fleeing from police is suing the officers who allegedly watched him struggle in the water while doing nothing to save his life. Kimberly Williams Clabo claimed in the lawsuit that four Knoxville Police Department officers prevented witnesses from going to the aid of her son. Miss Williams Clabo accused the city of Knoxville, its police chief, and the officers of violating her son's civil rights in the $4 million lawsuit filed exactly 1 year after his death in the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Tennessee. Micah deserved better than what he got from people who were supposed to be the first responder, her attorney said. The first responders were essentially bystanders looking on. In a statement, the Knoxville Police Department said its officers had acted appropriately and they would vigorously defend the suit. The lawsuit described Clabo as a master arborist and nature lover who had become addicted to opioids as a teenager. After moving to Knoxville to take part in court-sponsored rehabilitation, he relapsed and was reported missing on the 21st. On the 25th, police got several calls to report he had been spotted acting erratically. He fled from police, and then he got tangled up in some vines. At 10:17, an officer called the Knoxville Fire Department to send a rescue boat and tried to get him out of the water. The officer told dispatch that Clabo was attempting to get back to shore, but I can't get to him, according to the lawsuit. The suit alleges that the officer's body camera shows that the officer did nothing to try to reach Clabo. As he gasped for air and pleaded for help, he went under. Restaurant employees and diners allegedly pleaded with the officers to intervene, who were prevented from trying to reach him. At least two would-be citizen heroes wanted to try and save Micah themselves. So anyway, the police department said in a statement the lawsuit's claims are not supported by the facts. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, in the U.S., they can kill you if they want to, and they won't be in trouble. But they can also just let you die. And that's a little easier to defend. France is having an interesting period of time with its police. We don't have time to get into it today, but definitely check it out. The police in France, around the world, the police are usually a racist, horrible force. The police are not the kind of organization we need to exist in the world. But the police in France, there were protests because one of these cops beat up and left a kid for dead. And whenever the people rioted and were very mad and protested it, the cop was fired. But the police didn't want to say that they had done anything wrong or anything wrong had happened. So people protested some more. And now the police are doing a protest of their own where they're doing minimal responses and stuff like that. That's what's happening in Austin right now, is police do as little as possible to protest the attempts to cut funding. We currently, in our city, we give them like $450 million a year, and that's not enough money. They can't buy enough tanks with $400 million. Anyway, sorry, that police always piss me off, and so I try not to tell their stories too often. The other death that we wanted to talk about was a French daredevil named Remy Lucidi. He's known for climbing skyscrapers and doing stunts. He always takes a camera with him and shows the cool videos. Well, in Hong Kong, he showed up at a building, and a building guy tried to figure out what he was doing. He said, "Oh, I'm here to meet some friends." And when he was being asked some more details, he already was in the elevator. I guess he went from the lobby to like the first floor or something. So anyway, he was climbing and he got to the 68th floor and then realized that he wasn't going to be able to make it all the way to the top. He banged on a penthouse window where a babysitter or a nanny was. The nanny screamed and ran away and called the police. And it's presumed that at that point, he fell to his death. Don't climb skyscrapers. And don't jump into electrified bodies of water. And if you run from the police and you go into a body of water, don't drown, or don't expect them to save you if you drown. Anyway, we're got only about 2 minutes to go before the Dubious Goals Committee. Pretty wild, right? people who are on drugs, they're dangerous, terrible danger to society. If only there was some way that we could control drugs and help people with drug addiction. I don't know. If we were only not spending 50% of our city's revenue, tax revenue, on the police, we could maybe afford to spend that 5% of our revenue on rehab for everybody that needs it. Anyway, a mother may jump from a 50-story building to save the kids, but that's still probably not a good idea. Yep, exactly. So, lots of weird stuff going on in the world. There's just one power story I wanted to tell you about that I thought was cool, and it was about an Infinity train. This is in Australia. We might run out of time, but I'll just tell you. In Australia, they've got a train, and they think that it will have enough going downhill, regenerative braking, while the